Father in heaven, I thank you for the truth of that song. I thank you that I am redeemed. I thank you that we can gather here and we can celebrate that we are not who we used to be. Before we were dead in our sins. Now we're alive in Christ. Before we were living without hope, now we live with hope. Father, I thank you that we are redeemed. I thank you that we can gather in this place, this building that we come to worship in, but whom we worship is you, sweet Jesus. And I thank you for this end of the year time that we can come and celebrate who we now are in Christ. Thank you, sweet Jesus. We pray and ask all of these things in your precious and holy name and for your glory. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Joel. A wonderful time of worship this morning. Finding favor. I want to talk about that a little bit this morning. Here we are at the end of a year. Looking back, we haven't quite launched the new year yet, and I don't know what your year has been like. More than likely, it's been a mixture of things, some good and some bad, some high points and some low points in there. We got in Friday night. Judy and I took off the day after Christmas, ran up and spent a couple of days with Mom up there in Oklahoma, and we took baby Graham with us on the plane. And we left Heather and Mike to take the other four kids in the car in their eight-hour drive. And we said, we'll take one child, you know. And Graham did great going up. On the way back, we felt like we needed at the end of the flight to stand up and just say, before anybody gets off the plane, we want to apologize for everyone on the plane. He wasn't absolutely had a meltdown, but he let everybody know he was there, and he wasn't real happy about it. But little Graham's 10 months old. Sadie Mae had a great time. She's now best friends with Grandma. She just thinks Grandma is the best thing ever because Grandma has a walker, and she sits in the front of the walker and gets rides all around the house. If my mother thought for a moment that she would be able to come, she stays at Plantation House. It's a retirement center. She loves being there. The staff is fabulous, and she enjoys it. But she still has her home, and when we come into town, I pick her up. We all move back into the house. Mom was thrilled to go back to Plantation. She's like, oh, I love it. I could see it in her face. She said the right words. Oh, I've loved you all. It's just been so great. I hate for you all to go. But inside I could see, get me back to Plantation House. She walked all over the house. And there was no moment that Sadie Mae come up and say, Grandma, let's go for a ride. Well, her ride, Mom walking. But it was fun. At one point, Mom was going back to her bedroom. And Sadie Mae said, Grandma, where are you going? She said, well, I'm going to go back to my bedroom, go to bed. She says, so who's in there with you? And she says, well, I have my bedroom all by myself. And she goes, oh. And then she goes, Grandma, don't be frightened. Don't be scared. Jesus be with you in there. She doesn't know what it is, but she knows that gets good responses from all the adults in the room. So I'm not sure she's clued in yet. But it was a joy to be able to be there, a joy to be able to see family. And to see all the things that have happened in my family, my extended family, and Danny's family, and Sis's, and ours, and all the things that have changed over just a year. And I'm sure that's probably the same with your life. How you began this year is not how you ended this year. That's just the way of it. And I want us to look at this idea that has been kind of set on my heart here a bit about this idea of being favored. And the favor of God, as you look back, maybe you see yourself and think, man, this year was a year that it seemed like I was under the favor of God. And maybe you don't feel like that. Maybe you think, this was not a year that I have experienced the favor of God upon my life. Of all the tragedy, maybe you're coming into the holidays and you have left, you're exiting this year with missing family members, whether it's been separations and divorces or it's been death or whatever it might be, or just separation and moving across the country, whatever. But maybe it's not been a time. Maybe you've been sicker this year than you've ever remember, and so you can't really come to the end of the year and say, man, I just feel the full favor of God upon me. One of my favorite verses, which you know I've shared with you many, many times, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. I love that. I mean, how can you not? Trust in the Lord in all your ways and do not lean on your own understanding and how you see things, but trust God in the way He does things. But what we don't usually do is to read the first four verses of that beautiful psalm. So I want you to read it with me there in Proverbs 3, 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of day and years of life and peace they will add to you. You love that? It says, but let your heart keep my commandments. Do not forget my teaching. Because in those, he says here, for length of days, years of life, and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. You love that? That's the idea of memorizing them and meditating upon the scriptures, writing them on the tablet of your heart so they become a part of you. And verse 4 says this, listen to this. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. So that you would find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. It reminds me of, we just come out of the Christmas time with all the Christmas story, and there nestled in the Christmas story is that appearing of the angel before Mary, and he says to her there in Luke chapter 1, verse 28, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." You found favor with God. Well, of course, Mary found favor with God. I mean, she's the mother of baby Jesus. You found favor with God. The only thing we know about Jesus and is from the time he was a teenager all the way through his 20s, we have one verse about Jesus' early life before he began his ministry. It is there in Luke 2:52, and it says this, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." So here's this idea of having the favor of God upon our lives and all that that means. How do we define favor in that sense? Favor being blessings. Well, you could put that in that category. But it's greater than that. The favor of God is grace and mercy and compassion and love and faithfulness of God towards us. The favor of God is the fact that He reaches down in His grace and mercy and bestows upon us goodness and kindness and compassion. That's the favor of God. That we don't get what we deserve, but God says, instead of giving you what you deserve, I give you my favor, my blessing, the goodness and mercy. Now, I love Psalms 23. I've quoted it more probably than any other verse. I've done countless funerals, and I've quoted this and read this over hospital beds and at homes and all places, and I love Psalms 23. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy." Now that goodness and mercy is the favor of God. It's another way of stating it, but it's truly when you start defining what the favor of God is, it's goodness and mercy. "And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now why would he be able to be so bold as to make that statement? It's because of the way he begins this psalm. This beautiful psalm, it says, the very beginning of it in verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The
The Lord is my shepherd. See, because I put my trust in him, and David in his understanding, being a shepherd and growing up around sheep, and he puts that in his own life, and he says, you know what? The reason that I am blessed, the reason I have the favor of God upon my life, and that I will live in the house of the Lord forever is because he is the one who is my shepherd. He's the provider of my life. He guides me. He directs me. He protects me. He is my everything, as a sheep is to a shepherd. My God is for me. That's what David's saying. He says, because he is my God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Don't you love that? He's the one that restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. You see, the truth of it is that if you are in Christ, you are favored. If you are in Christ, you are favored. Here you are, a sinful person just like I am. We're sinful. We have no hope. There's no way to work ourselves out of that sin condition. We have stained ourselves with sin. The wages of sin is death. We understand that. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We understand that. And yet all of a sudden Christ steps in because of what we just went through the whole season about his birth. We celebrate the fact that he came, that he lived, that he died, and he rose again. And because of that, he extends an invitation to us that through his grace and mercy, we might be able to put our faith and trust in him and become a child of God, highly favored. We don't deserve that, but we are highly favored. The blessings of God. I love the way that Paul writes about it when he talks about the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. In Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, he says this, "Or did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you?" My temple is growing constantly, okay, in the wrong directions, but it's growing. I don't know about you, but this idea that this body, it's hard for me to understand that God himself, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would take up residence within me. There are times that I want to say, God, you know, I've been without you all day, and I'm sorry, I please forgive me, and I need you in my life. And it's a silly prayer because God never leaves me. Ever since my salvation, he has taken up residence within me, within you. Once you accepted Jesus Christ, it says that your body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is not the temple of the Holy Spirit. This is just a building. We, individual believers, become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and because of that, we are highly blessed. The Holy Spirit who is within you, whom you have from God, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your bodies. Christ loves us, died for us, and has now moved in and taken up residence within us, cares for us, leads us, guides us. We are highly favored. No other way around it. Doesn't matter what goes on, what has happened to me. Maybe I look back at this last year and say, wow, this was the most horrible year that I've never had a year that bad. And you are still highly favored because you're a child of the King and nothing can change that. I mean, you may have a good day or a bad day. You may have had healthier years. You may have gotten the worst diagnosis you've ever had this year. But it doesn't change the fact that if you're a child of God, if you've committed your life to Jesus Christ, then that's just talking about your physical life. If you die today, you are highly favored because you step into the presence of God Almighty. What was it that Paul said? Paul said, to stay here would be good because I have ministry, but to die is gain. He never looked at the grave as something, oh no, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. He said, man, I would love to die and go on to heaven. And I think a part of Paul was he was gripped with the fact that he had had a glimpse of heaven that probably nobody else has ever really truly had. He had a glimpse of heaven and understood that to a degree that it said he just longed to be in heaven. He longed to be there and away from all this, but he said, it is better for everybody and for ministry and for other people that I might win more to Christ if I stay here. But he said, I long to go. And so there's no diagnosis, there's no bad thing that could possibly happen that can erase the fact that we are heaven bound, we are favored. We are God's children. And there's some joy in that. I love the fact that it's not just kind of defined for us there by all that it is, but it's also declared by Christ. When Jesus, you remember, we've talked about Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 is when Jesus, right after his baptism, he went out into the desert, spent that 40 days in the desert, was tempted by the devil. And when he came back from that, victorious, not sinned, then he started his ministry. But one of the first things he did was he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, where he grew up. And it was on a Saturday. It was the Sabbath. That's in the biblical days, the Jews worshiped on Saturday. And so he went to church on Saturday, like all the other disciples, like everybody in the community. They went to the synagogue. He was a good Jew. He was a good Hebrew. And so they went on Saturday to church, to the synagogue, and he was sitting there around with them. And then in the midst of that time, he stands up and he goes up to the front and he takes one of the scrolls, the sacred scrolls, and he opens it, which we call the Old Testament. They would have called their sacred scriptures. And he unrolls that and he finds the scripture and he says this and he begins to read from that. And he reads this there in Luke 4 verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Listen to verse 19. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. And then he sat down. And it says, the scripture says that every eye was upon him. He stands up, he reads, he hands back the scrolls, he goes over and sits down, and everybody was hushed. And they're just staring at him thinking, what? And then he says this to them in verse 21. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture, because he read out of Isaiah, has been fulfilled in your hearing. This has begun the year of the Lord's favor. Now, he's not talking about 12 months. He's talking about a period of time. He's talking about from now on, it has changed. Everything has changed. There used to be the Old Testament time before Christ, and now he says, at this starting at this moment here, he says, now is starting the year of God's favor because he has come to die upon the cross and save men from their sins. And so he's saying this year of favor has now begun and it will continue on until the day that he returns. Year of his favor. Paul describes it this way when he says, and God says, and he has a quote here, God says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I helped you. And then Paul says this, behold, now, today, now is the favorable time, the time of favor. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So Paul's saying, you heard God say that there's going to be a time of favor, there's going to be a time of salvation. He says, now it has come. Christ, who lived, who died, and rose again. Now that is the time of favor that we can put our faith and trust in him. We can see what he's done through Scripture, and we can put our trust in that and become a child of God, and we are highly favored from that point on. It is Jesus who reminded us that this favor of God needs to be something that's primary in our heart. It becomes more important than anything else. And as I look back, I think there have been disappointing times in my life this last year where I seem to have chased after something else besides God's favor. In Mark 8:34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Verse 36 says this, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Now, I've not forfeited my soul because I've placed my faith and trust in Christ, and I hope you have too. I hope that you're not just a member of the church, but that you're a part of the family of God by faith in Christ. There are some people who grow up thinking that they're a part of the family of God because their name is on a church roll somewhere. And I hope that that's not the case with you. I hope that us sitting here today that you know without a shadow of a doubt you've prayed and you've asked Christ in your heart and you've committed your life to him. But even in that, it reminds me that there can be pursuits, that we would pursue earthly things, we would pursue earthly treasures, we would pursue the pleasures and the comforts of this world. One of the things that we struggle with in our culture, every culture struggles, every sin is sin and it's universal. And every place on the planet, there is no special group. You can't go off on a mission field and find anywhere in the world where they don't have greed and lust and envy and pride and selfishness. That is universal. But we do struggle with, one of the things that we struggle with here is this idea of kind of a lifestyle. If we're not careful, a lifestyle that we have kind of risen up to becomes our God. And we seek after that as if that's the golden calf. Wouldn't want to do anything that we would drop below that standard of living, that comfort level right there. And I'm going to make sure that I put enough in retirement so that I can maintain that. And I will sacrifice anything so that I can maintain my comfort level right there. And though we would say God is first, sometimes, without even thinking, it's not a conscious thing we do, but just almost unconsciously, we begin to chase after things that are not Him. We begin to chase after stuff that this world would offer, and it is all for naught. And so the idea here is to be reminded that we are to desire Him and His favor more than anything. And then I also love the fact that we have it demonstrated. When you start looking back at the Old Testament, you realize how many Old Testament characters were favored by God. You have Abraham, you have Moses, you have Elijah, you have Gideon, you have Daniel, you have David. You go through all of this. But every person that you look at in the Old Testament and even in the New that are favored by God, they were favored by God for a reason. And that was to somehow that their life would be a blessing to others. And we're reminded that by Paul here. We're favored so that others might see the glory of God. Notice what he says. Paul says, he writes here in Corinthians 5:17, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and I hope that's you, it is me, I hope that is you, he is a new creation. I love that. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And I almost stop here and say, you know what? I don't know what sins or what mistakes or what failures have happened in the last 12 months, but that's past. Forgetting what is behind. I'm a new creation in Christ. Today's a brand new day. We're on the brink of a new year. And as I look back, and it says, all of this is from God. Nothing that I have done, nothing that you have done. Who through Christ, listen to this, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Through Jesus, I've been reconciled to God. That's why I can say I'm favored and you're favored. If you are in Christ, then you've been reconciled with God, which means you have the favor of God upon you. And then it says that he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Take a look at verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us, you and I, not to me alone because I'm a pastor, but to you and I, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So here we have the favor of God that falls upon us when we have been reconciled by God. And then because of that, he says, I've given you a task. And that task is that you would turn around and bring this message of reconciliation to the whole world. And that's really what we're about. That's why we say that we're a church that wants to make disciples who will turn around and make disciples. Because the job is not evangelism. If our church was really bent on evangelism and only evangelism, they will have missed the mark. Because that means they will grow up a generation of people who are saved and comfortable and not understanding that they're saved so that they would carry that message back to an unsaved world. We are favored so that we would be able to turn around and say to others, do you not want the favor of God to fall upon you? Come and understand that through Christ we can be favored. We can be reconciled to God. That's the joy of knowing. And I don't know how many times I missed, and I missed many opportunities last year. Some I was aware of, and some because I just don't see right sometimes. Sometimes I walked right past opportunities. Judy's a whole lot more sensitive to this than I am. Sometimes we'll speak to somebody, or you know, and then we'll be leaving, and she'll say, oh, we need to stop and pray for that person. And I said, why do they need prayer? And she'll go, did you not see that she was like on the verge of tears? She looked happy to me. I don't know. I'm sorry. So if you're coming up to me and sometimes you don't think I clue in, you need to tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, Pastor, I'm having a meltdown. Okay, sometimes I don't clue in. She's a lot better than that, okay? Raise a flag or something and help me understand. Because there are times that I walk past needs, and in my own human frailty, I don't see that. But I'm trying to be better about that and understand that every day, and it's not because of my occupation, but because of my birthright in Christ, that I have the job of reconciling this lost world to God. We are favored, amen? We are favored to know that a person that is sinful at birth all the way through my life, and that I've done nothing to be reconciled to God, He still loved us. He died for us, and He reconciles us to Himself so that we might be His children and carry that message. You pray with me. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for the joy of this morning of being able to gather as the family of God, as those that are not worthy, but yet you still have looked at us and said, we are favored. Just as you did to Mary, just as you've done to others, we are favored. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would not be content knowing that we're heaven bound, but that we would carry that wonderful message into our homes, into our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Father, help us that we might, as favored children of God, we might carry the message of Christ to a lost world. And if there's someone here, Heavenly Father, that does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray they wouldn't leave this building without praying that prayer of salvation. Simply in the truth and the honesty and the sincerity of their heart, they would voice a prayer to say, dear Jesus, I love you. I trust you. I believe you are who you say you are, that you're God Almighty, that you died on the cross, that you rose again. And I put my faith and trust in you, sweet Jesus, and ask you to save me. Make me yours. And I will follow you all the days of my life. Father in heaven, I thank you. I thank you for the promise of salvation when we turn our hearts over to you. Father, I pray that as we've gathered, if there are decisions that need to be made, maybe prayers that need to be prayed, maybe some just need to come and say, Pastor, would you pray with me? Whatever it might be. Father, we're here to respond to the prompting of your Holy Spirit. For it's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray.